Computers are live. Mixers up. Levels are good. Equalizers good. Ready channels 1 and 2. Mic is live in 3, 2, 1. Roll it. Welcome, listeners, to the My Practice, My Business podcast, where we teach dentists and their teams how to reclaim forgotten profitability in dentistry with our clinical business of dentistry training. And now, the host of our show, the clinical director at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. It's Dr. Rob with My Practice, My Business, and we're excited to have you here again today. Title of today's podcast is going to be this: Please Make It Stop. It's Not a Courtesy. Years ago, I wrote an article on direct operating costs and how important they are when setting your fee-for-service fees, or as we like to call them nowadays, UCR fees, which stands for usual, customary, and reasonable. And that's a whole other topic we could talk about, defining what UCR really means. But back in the day, we called them fee-for-service fees. Let alone evaluating your profitability with contracted insurance reimbursement fees. And we all know how most dentists simply hate to use the term profits when discussing their businesses. But the simple fact is, dentists and their teams oftentimes cannot grasp the concept that the patient is responsible to pay for more expensive products and services, whether they're insured or they're not insured. This is a simple and insurance verifiable concept we've taught at My Practice, My Business for years, yet it still eludes the large majority of doctors out there. When the dentist does think of charging their patient for non-covered value-added services, they feel they are nickel and diming the patient. Dentists have simply been trained to give their services away as a courtesy to their patients. Even team members, somehow that cross-pollination took place, and team members feel like their dentists make too much money and they should give away their services because they're doing just fine. Unbelievable. And what's more, offices we train tend to have, one, younger team members that try to keep the dentists from giving away their services, and two, older team members who typically love giving away their doctor's services as a courtesy to the patients because they feel doing so promotes trust. Go figure, right? Dentists have been conditioned to feel that dental insurance is the wherewithal when paying for any and all dental procedures on behalf of their patients. So have their team members. It simply is not. Dental insurance is not true insurance. It's only a financial benefit where the patient is paying a monthly premium, which covers percentages of specified CDT codes with a built-in stop loss so that the dental insurance company doesn't lose in the financial arrangement. Isn't that interesting? So when it comes to value-added services provided by any dentist, the patient is responsible for those more expensive products and services, not the dental office. Not the dentist, office manager, or anyone else. It's the patient's responsibility. Why is this business concept oftentimes so difficult for dentists and their teams to understand? Let me give you some examples. A couple of years ago, I was doing an introductory seminar for the clinical business of dentistry courses that we teach at a really nice restaurant, Tuscany, here in the Salt Lake area. And as I get to a certain point in the presentation, a lady raises her hand. She was off to my right-hand side, and she says, "Dr. Thorup, I understand why you're trying to teach us to charge more for what we do, and I understand it. I get it. But we give away those types of services as a courtesy to our patients because they trust our doctor." And I looked right at her and I'm like, I was dumbfounded. I almost didn't know how to respond because all these things were going through my head. First thing that went through my head is, whoa, if you worked for me, you'd be fired like yesterday. And then the other thing is she looked at me like so sincere that I just couldn't, you know, say anything to her that I really wanted to say because I didn't want to be offensive. So I did the best because I'm not very PC, okay? Maybe you're going to pick up on that over time as we continue with our podcast, but I do try to be nice. And so the only thing I could say to her at the time was, I'll tell you what, since you like to do things for free in your practice, like you like to give away the doctor's services for free, and you feel like, you know, these products don't have a cost of goods to them and doesn't cost your doctor any money to produce them, and it's such a trust thing, how about you reverse it? Why don't you and the rest of your team sitting there at the table with your doctor, why don't you commit right now to promote trust between you guys and your doctor by working one day a week for free for him right now? Isn't that the same business concept that you're trying to teach me? Wouldn't it be a courtesy to him to just go for that, work one day a week for free and say, it's because we trust you and we love coming to you? And they looked at me like, are you crazy? Well, of course we would never do that. We need to earn a living. And I looked at him, I said, that's right. Everybody needs to earn a living. And when you give away services for free to your patients, that's not earning a living. And it just hit her like a ton of bricks. But the sad thing is she still couldn't get over it. We call that oftentimes the status quo, right? That's the status quo. And then people won't change. We call that the Yanindi syndrome. Yeah, no, I'm not doing it. So those are the two things that we see often in practices. The second thing is a dentist who doesn't understand their cost of goods, but the lead dental assistant sure does. So one of the offices we were training, they kept throwing the dentist under the bus. Oh my gosh, it was so funny because, you know, oftentimes we teach practices that, you know, it's really simple to increase revenue by $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month with need-based dentistry. And docs, when your teams grasp this business concept of not giving it away, give them ownership. Give them ownership. Give them 10, 15, 20% return on these methods that we teach you guys in business strategies to increase revenue, and not by doing big cases or more implants or sleep apnea or whatever it might be. This is just in need-based dentistry is what we teach and train on how to increase revenue. I know that sounds crazy. So anyway, the assistant's like, yeah, doc, stop giving it away. And apparently this doc, she would constantly give things away, you know, from x-rays, limited exams to, you know, fluoride to everything else. And it's like, we have to earn a living. And so I love it when, especially it seems like dental assistants who have been at it for a long time, they go, yeah, we get this, but the doctors, they don't get this. And we want to make more money, and they're capable of making more money, but they continue to give it away. Crazy. How about down-coded procedures? This is number three. Now who's responsible to pay the difference? When insurances first started down-coding, like fillings, composite fillings, they down-coded them to a silver filling, amalgam filling. It was amazing because on the EOBs it said the difference between the submitted amount and the allowed amount is not the patient's responsibility. When in fact it was. That was just a general thing that they would pump out there on their stupid EOBs that are really deceptive if you don't understand how to read them. And so all these offices, if you charged $100 for a composite fill, let's say, and that was the insured fee, was $100, say on a two-surface posterior, and they dumbed it down and paid $70 because that was what was allowed on the silver amalgam fee, and so then they only paid 80% of that, that $30 difference between 70 to 100, people were writing off left and right. I'm going, are you kidding me? You do not write that off. That is collectible money. And that's the patient has an additional responsibility to pay that. And so these patients were calling, and it only takes one time. This is one of the things we train on. Just get the insurance on the phone. And sometimes the patients would call their insurance company, and the insurance company would say, yeah, you're not responsible for that. and just being jerks about it. So it only takes one three-way call, and they will put a little flag on your account that says, hey, don't mess with this office. You get the insurance reviewer on the phone, and you tell them that you want a three-way call between you, them, and your patient, and have them explain to the patient why they lied. It only takes once, and why they're not being honest, okay? The fourth thing is my buddy down the hall in his high-end crowns and the status quo. Here's another one that's just so crazy. My good friend down the hall from me, he takes and he charges, we're only able to accept X amount of dollars on a PPO crown, right? Let's just say it's $600, okay? And even though your fee-for-service fee might be $1,000, one of the insurances is only going to cover $600. So how do you use the more expensive products, like, you know, from Arrowhead or from any number of labs that do high-end work? How do you charge the patient for a more expensive crown? Well, you certainly can. And you don't have to, but most of us think, oh my gosh, we've got to buy the cheapest product, the cheapest crown out there, because we can't charge any more on a PPO plan. Well, that's simply not true. It's called value-added service, and you can provide a value-added service and charge an additional fee for, and you can call it a cosmetic upgrade, or you can name the material lithium to silicate, whatever you want to do, but that's a value-added service. So you don't have to use the cheapest crown possible, and you can use a better, nicer-looking crown. And so what he does is he goes and he charges it, but he didn't do it the right way. He didn't provide the information to the patient, and he didn't have the patient sign appropriate consent. And so the patient complained to the insurance company, and bam, now he's in trouble, and he's got to refund some money to the patient. Oh, it's like, stop it. Anyway, learn how to do it the right way, but it certainly can be done. Many of you out there are doing a pretty good job of it. And then there's my friend from New Jersey at 66 years of age, and his office manager she didn't know what she didn't know, which is the problem with most office managers. And that goes into the dichotomy of dentistry, which is going to be one of our podcasts, either I think right after this one. We're going to talk about the dichotomy of dentistry and the differences we find in offices. But this office manager just led him wrong. So he got rid of her because he thought he could offer value-added service. He just didn't know how. So he came out to one of our trainings many, many years ago. He's from New Jersey, flew out here, heard about us. And boy, I'm teaching him about crowns. I'm teaching him about value-added service and how to differentiate, how to offer crown A or crown B and let it be the patient's choice. See, that's really important. It has to be the patient's choice. And this poor guy, I'm like in the, there's like four other offices going through the training, and this guy breaks down, and he had his hygienist and his dental assistant who'd been with him for years, just a small office, and he just, they were, I saw him like crunching numbers. And of course we train on a lot of other value-added services that you can charge your patients for just by giving choice. So they were adding all this up. I could see them, they're running numbers. I thought, this is cool. We're connecting. They're already getting it already. I'm excited for him. And then he just breaks down and starts crying. I mean, tears just flowing out of this guy's eyes, 66 years of age. And I'm like, okay, I think we need to take a break for about 10 minutes. Everybody just get up, stretch, and we'll reconvene in 10 minutes. So everybody kind of got up, left the room, you know, walked outside, got a breath of fresh air and used the restroom, et cetera. And this guy's sitting there. And I walked over to him and I said, Doc, what's wrong? You know, are you okay? Bad news from home? You know, all kinds of things ran through my mind. And he says, Rob, I wish I would have met you 20 years ago. He said, but the good news is I am healthy. I know I can practice for a good between 5 and 10 more years, more than likely. And you've shown me a way that I can now retire. And what was really awesome is I got a letter from this guy 7.5 years later, and they implemented everything that we taught at MPMB. On the clinical business of dentistry. He implemented everything in between that and the sale of his practice. The guy was able to retire on just over $3.75 million. And that's how much more money he made. It made my day. So it's like, again, we go to, please make it stop. It's not a courtesy. You don't have to give your dentistry away. If you give the patients an option, and it should be their option to use a more expensive crown, filling implant, or anything else, when they choose the better material, they should pay for it, not you. But we don't think like that as business people. No business in this country pays for upgrades for their customers where there's a differential in cost of goods. Nobody does it unless they want something to be a loss leader. Well, in dentistry, it seems like we're constantly having everything be a loss leader, and we need to stop doing that, okay? And so why do dental professionals consistently do this in their businesses every day with their patients? The simple answer that I found, they don't know what they don't know. Yes, docs, you can charge the patient directly, whether insured or not insured, for more expensive products and services. Just remember, you have to offer value-added service to both insured and uninsured. You can't just target your PPO plans. It has to be offered to both or it's unethical, okay? There are simple protocols that must be followed when doing so. And at MPMB, we teach dental teams what those protocols are. And our software, My Dental Docs, is a simple answer to upgrading because it's already built into the system. It also helps your team present your case presentations like never before seen in dentistry, which increases case acceptance dramatically. Listen to the podcast before on case acceptance. It's a biology thing because that'll help you whether you use our system or create your own. That will help you to present treatment so you connect with your patients. Being profitable in dentistry is easy when you understand these key business principles. Identifying underutilized CDT codes and teaching dental teams how to create new ones for value-added services is what we specialize in here at My Practice, My Business. We're the only consulting company that guarantees a return on investment or your money is refunded. Who else does that? We help you reclaim forgotten profitability in dentistry. So I want you to think about these things that we're teaching you today. And keep in mind that many years ago, I was taught this by a general manager, one of the major insurance players, Blue Cross Blue Shield, on how to offer value-added service. Now, whether you do it yourself or you come and light the rocket jet and take off like crazy with us, just start doing it. Think about it. So many offices, like I've said, every time I give a lecture, I ask with all the people that are there, how many of you are upgrading crowns right now? And everybody gets crowns. And about 40%+ of the room will raise their hands. And I'll say, okay, what does that group know that the rest of you don't? And then it gets their attention. It's like, oh my gosh, what are my colleagues doing that I'm not doing? It's a business thing, you guys. Many of you listening to this podcast will get it, meaning you'll understand the business principles I'm talking about, and you'll dabble in upgrading some things. When you're ready to take your business skills to that whole new level, whether you take PPO plans or not, doesn't matter. We're here for you. I hope to see you at one of our trainings in the future. As always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to give us a call. We love teaching offices about what it is we do, and we give you snippets of things to do. You can always catch me. You can look on our website and see when our introductory courses are. We don't teach fluff, and as you've noticed in our podcast, I'm always giving you guys some solid information. And, of course, I'm excited to talk about our company and what we do and how we do it because it's powerful. We've got so many endorsements over the last few years. We were just so far ahead of our time by differentiating products and services and charging for them that it's taken the industry time to catch up with where we were at. And, you know, I have to give my dad credit where credit's due. My dad owned a battery company, and I started working for him when I was 9 years old. Nowadays, I'd be child labor or something or another. And child services would come arrest my parents if they saw me working at such a young age for them. But guess what's exciting? I worked for my dad from 9 years of age on at a battery company. And there were different types of batteries, 2 years, 3 years, 4 year, 5 year batteries. And not all of them were equal. The more powerful and the better the guarantee on the battery meant the more lead and the thicker the plates were inside, you could feel the difference just by the weight of the battery. Well, they didn't all have the same price point. And so why, when there's a differential in cost of goods, do we place the same price point on the things that we do? That just doesn't make sense to me. That's crazy stuff, right? So as always, if you have questions about what we're teaching here, geez, just give us a call. Love to talk with you anytime. It'll be probably one of the best business calls you'll ever make in your dental career. Thank you so much for tuning into the My Practice, My Business podcast. You can find additional podcasts you may have missed that will help you with your dental practice at Apple iTunes Podcasts. And remember to become a subscriber to our podcast. Many of you have asked how to help support the My Practice, My Business podcast. If you have enjoyed the program and information you received today, the best way to help is to leave us a 5-star review. Thanks again for allowing us to be a part of your day.